If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
If you were terrified by the first Planet in Peril back in October 2007, Jim, because it was terrifying, I can't wait for Planet in Peril Part 2, Now We're Really Screwed, I think is the subtitle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. If only someone could clear up. What? Who is it, Chris?
It's CNN's Anderson Cooper.
What? He's the guy.
That's right.
With the thing.
How's it going?
Good morning, Anderson Cooper.
I like that. Planet in Peril, Now We're Really Screwed.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion.
I know. I should have thought of that. It's very good. Maybe that's for you next year.
Can I tell you, I always like when you show up. You know why? Because I'm often on Larry King, and when he brings you in, that means I get a break from right-wingers screaming at me for a moment.
There's a lot of screaming on that show, yeah.
Exactly. So tell us about the new special.
It's called Planet in Peril Battle Lines. It airs on Thursday at 9 o'clock. It's a two-hour special. And basically, we spent a year traveling around to all the sort of the battle lines, conflicts over natural resources. You know, over the next 40 years, our population is going to grow by 50% around the world. And the Director of National Intelligence in the U.S. just a couple of weeks ago said that in the next 15 years or so, competition over those resources is going to lead to increased global conflict. And we're already seeing that. And that's really, we decided to just go to the front lines of the conflict and where we're seeing it. And it's conflict over oil in Nigeria and searching for oil under the Arctic, decimation of animal species, of shark populations around the globe, a whole host of issues.
I was just going to say, Anderson, I'm sorry, but I have to get to the part where it turns into Shark Week. So you you go to report on the great white shark off the coast of South Africa, and you go in the water yourself without a shark cage.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time. And it was funny. Right before I went in, I turned to the guy. There's one guy in the world who free dives with great white sharks. And he agreed to take me out. And right before I got in the water, I turned to him. I said, you know, do you have any advice? And he said, oh, just project confidence. Which didn't really seem to me to be the greatest.
I'd prefer an underwater Uzi, but thank you. I always wonder how that kind of thing happens in TV, Anderson. You're sitting around the table spitballing at CNN, and you were like, what, I go into the water?
I know.
What, I go into the water in the great without the shark tank?
I know. I'd done the shark tank for 2 days, and it's cool in a shark tank because the water is chummed with blood, and they have a bait, so the shark actually lunges for the bait, so it lunges for the tank. So I did that for 2 days, and I got a little bit more comfortable with the sharks, and then the guy was like, well, I'll take you out, and it was pretty intense because the water was still chummed with blood. So essentially, you're swimming in bloody water.
Wow.
With sharks.
You seem so much brighter than that on television.
I've been in the news business for 15 years, so I'm used to swimming with sharks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's an ancient joke, sort of.
Okay. Yeah, sort of.
Now, here's the other thing, is then it turned into Gorillas in the Mist. Tell us about the Rwanda part. You go to where the endangered mountain gorilla lives, right?
Yeah, you know, there's only 720 mountain gorillas left on the entire planet, and they're all in this range of mountains that straddle Rwanda, Uganda, and Congo. And I've been going there actually for the last 10 years or so to see the gorillas. But in Rwanda, it's kind of a success story, and that's why we went, because they've been able to protect the gorilla population that they have in their country, you know, make the most of it through raising money through tourism, and some of that money goes back into local communities. Right across the border, though, in Congo, it's a completely different story. There, the gorillas are cut off by the civil war. And actually, no one's even been able to see the gorillas in the last year or so because they're under the control of the rebels.
Well, you know, I it seems like that's a model for how a country can, in conflict, can still profit, right, by protecting national their natural resources.
Yeah, I mean, Rwanda really is a success story. I mean, they've done an amazing job of overcoming what occurred there back in 1994, but also really promoting their species. You know, the five gorillas have been born since the last time. Since we shot this thing a couple of months ago. So they're actually increasing their gorilla population, which is a great thing to see. In Congo, last year, 10 gorillas were actually murdered by sort of a charcoal mafia. And that was a huge blow to the gorilla population.
Wow. So now, and Lisa Ling and Dr. Sanjay Gupta join you in this special. Tell us what they're doing.
Well, you know, yeah, basically Lisa, who I actually used to work with back on Channel One, you know, she now works for the Oprah Show and, right. and has worked for National Geographic and Discovery. And she goes to Chad. She looks at poaching of the elephant population. She also travels. She's also part of the shark week that we're doing. She went to look at why so many sharks are being slaughtered around the world. There's basically, you know, 90 to 100 million sharks are killed every year. They're mainly killed for their fins, and the fins are cut off, and the shark, while it's still alive, is just shoved back in the ocean to drown. Obviously, without the fins, they can't swim, and it all goes for shark fin soup, if you can believe it.
Yeah, that's I've seen that before. That is horrifying. What that's just sort of a stupid maybe question, but I don't understand. Like, how hard is it to just at least kill them and put them out of their misery? I mean, why do
Yeah, you know, it's when I guess they're operating in such huge numbers that, you know, even taking a few seconds to kill the shark would I guess add up, and they just don't really care. But you know, it's bizarre that so many sharks are, you know, you have to kill the entire animal just to get this little fin, and they don't keep the whole shark because the rest of the body isn't really worth much. So they can kill more sharks if they're able to just cut off the fins, and then they have more room on their boats for, you know, to get even more sharks.
Oh, now, and where does Sanjay Gupta go? He goes to Central Africa, is it?
Yeah, he was in Central Africa. He was also he was with me in Central Africa. We went out because food prices are rising around the world. There have been food riots, and people are having to push deeper and deeper into forest regions in order to hunt for bushmeat, for protein, for food, in a lot of communities in Central Africa, for instance. And not only is that decimating animal populations and you know, basically emptying forests of species, but it's putting people in contact with viruses that have sort of previously been undisturbed, and they're called zoonotic viruses which jump from animals to humans, and HIV is obviously the most well-known and deadliest example. And so we went out with Sanjay and I went out with a virus hunter, an epidemiologist, who's tracking the viruses and even unknown and previously undiscovered viruses which are crossing over and which might become the next deadly global epidemic.
Oy.
Well, there goes overpopulation.
You never seem to have good news, Anderson.
On this Monday morning.
Now, and then what about because I mean, obviously oil, a big issue all over the world, including here. You study conflicts between oil and poverty in Nigeria. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's this rebel movement called MEND, which is attacking oil pipelines, kidnapping oil workers, and we're kind of looking at how, you know, this local populations aren't really benefiting from having these, you know, oil companies come in and drill for oil in their communities. And so the story of Rwanda is how you have to involve the local populations in the conservation effort, and maybe there's a lesson of that in that could be applied to Nigeria, where local people say they aren't benefiting. You know, they're having oil pumped from their neighborhoods and their communities, but it's going to the central government. It's going elsewhere. It's not benefiting them.
So essentially we will, and then there's one about poison in Peru, one company that is responsible for allegedly poisoning an entire community.
Yeah, this guy, Ira Rennert, who built that huge house in the Hamptons, he has this company that they own two smelting plants. One's in Peru and one's in the United States. The one in the United States is now, after much criticism, is, you know, cleaned up its record, is doing a better job environmentally. The one in Peru is the identical plant, and they don't have the same laws there. So there's all these children who have been, have lead poisoning, and in all these local communities around the smelting plants. So Sanjay went to both these plants, going to show the difference.
Do you ever sleep, or do you just have nightmares constantly? Will any of us ever sleep when we watch Planet in Peril Part 2? Because it's just a Shark Week meets Ebola virus meets everything
well,
terrified you.
There's some sort of sense of what works and what doesn't work, and only by kind of figuring out the things that work and the things that don't work, we sort of figure out, you know, how to take care of it. I mean, the bottom line is it's a battle over dwindling resources and how best to preserve what resources we have left through, you know, conservation or technology or innovation. But we're trying to look at what works and what doesn't.
Well, I look forward to it. The first one, of course, was great, and I look forward to it. When is it? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday night at 9 o'clock on CNN.
Awesome.
There you are. Anderson Cooper saves the world. That's the other subtitle we're working on. Anderson, thanks so much for taking time for us this morning.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Anderson Cooper from CNN.
Hey there, all you FFOJs. That's friends and fans of Jim. This is Jim Ward speaking. In my quest to make the world a better place, I try to brighten your morning commute with insightful commentary, airy persiflage, and references to Sean Connery's yam sack being dragged through the brambles. But somehow it left me unfulfilled. So ever the optimist, I have delved into the intertubes and excreted a masterpiece, Apocryphal But True, the album. Log on to voicedeity.com and for only $11.95, inhale the essence of this digital ursine feculence. That's voicedeity.com. Sylvan Environment not included.